know my mother can't. Don't tell her I told you this. She can finish talking and just maybe wake up during the night and this place is itching her. I said, let me just take the medicine. I shouted. I won't go into the details, all right? But why did I say she shouldn't take it? I'll tell you simply. I just suddenly realized that she would die suddenly. That was my opinion. And I was very angry with the young doctor whose sense was not working properly. See, just for those of you, just know, human beings are not test results. They are human beings. That's why when I see people say they are sick, they will go to the lab. It irritates my body. When you are sick, see a doctor. Then he looks at that if you want to see one. If I were you, I'll go and pray. But let's just assume you want to see one. Then he decides, because lab results are not human beings. They are part of the things you use to, you tie it together. You know, for example now, I don't want to bore you. There was a result I wrote out before leaving the office now. I'd written it that I told my residents, okay, this is the final diagnosis. Tell them that there's a mild problem with it, so I sign it. Then I just say, how old is the man again? They say 70. I say, 70? At the age of 70, this is normal. Write that as normal. Even though the picture is before me, the interpretation is, I say, if this guy was 30, I won't fly this in as normal. But at 70, experience, I've been a pathologist for quite a number of years now. I've realized that some of my colleagues say interpreting things can be difficult for them. So I'm careful when I write my reports. So I told my resident, write normal, capital, normal. I said, because if you look at it on an absolute basis, there's a mild problem with it. But this is a problem that at that age there's nothing really can do about it. At 70 years, let the man enjoy that little problem. So why do I write normal? So that the doctor there won't start treating. But if you told me the fellow is 30, I'll have said, look, this mild problem exists. Watch out for it. The reason is that it might get worse over time. The 70-year-old man, by the time he gets bad, the man will be 125. Which you and I know. 125, he's like to have been buried 30 years ago. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why lab. So this was what happened to my mom that day. They took a lab result. Said, okay, her blood sugar is high. I said, listen, at that time she was like 73. 73? This blood sugar, yeah, you say it's high. It's just marginally outside what we call the reference range. I asked my mother a few questions. Do you have any problems tied to, which I know could be tied to blood sugar? No. He said, you know me very well. I don't wake up at night for any reason. Let me get up to go and use the bathroom. No. Food? My mother doesn't eat much. My wife said that's why she enjoys her visiting. My mother is not somebody you need to cook for if she visits. She's not going to eat anyway. They put all of those things together and I said they give you an oral hypoglycemic. That's what they gave my mother. I was so angry. Now this is the point I'm making. And I got to work and I told this story to one of my colleagues. He laughed. You know why he laughed? He mentioned that for our colleagues. He said, you know what happened to his mother? He came to a clinic. She had a skin rash. And then they did the same test, gave her the same medicine, nobody to warn her like I warned my mother. She took the medicine, this thing drops your blood sugar. Most people don't know. So a woman was alone in the house, she went to the bathroom, as she was coming out, she became dizzy. Nobody to help. She dropped, nobody was there. Her brain fried, and she died. Listen, those who don't take medicine, they may die. Those who take, they also die. There's none that lives forever. He says, this one that takes lives even longer. It is not necessarily true. I'm not saying this to let you know to tell everybody that takes medicine is dead. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say that don't even think you are safe. When I'm talking to my residents, I say, this is why I pray. If you tell me something is wrong with me, you know, medically, I don't rush to go and say, okay, do this test. I say, wait. I'm going home first. I take the word of God like medicine. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. I speak peace to my body. Listen, until I get well. You know, I'm going to turn into a drug addict. Swallowing cocaine all my life. God in heaven. I will live long, trust me. Yeah, no, don't worry. Come when I'm 90. We'll still be having this talk. People focus on that small problem. That's what I'm talking about. He focused on, you know, this my small finger is paining me. He's paining me. Then after a while, the finger said, well, I only, you can't take this attention. Let me just ask my brother to join. The second finger joins. Then starts paining. The next thing, all the fingers are stiff. And we will never agree that it's because we gave it attention. For those of us Christians, I will tell you, it is because you gave it attention. Should have done like Mary Kay. Add some extra to it. Speak the word of God to it and go about your business. And when you wake up in the morning and it pains you, oh, you pain it back saying, in Jesus' name, you are well. I'm going somewhere today. After a few days, the pain will go to your neighbor. Say, this one is a dangerous person. That other one is less dangerous. I was watching the video of this man, Neville Johnson. He said one Christian woman died one day. That she died, a bus hit her, knocked her down, and she died. The woman was about 70-something. And he said he was troubled, and he went to, he's a prophet. He went to pray. Now, before that, he said, what happened was that, he went to pray that, God, why did this woman die? He said, God said in simple terms, I wanted to take that woman, she wouldn't agree. Neville Johnson said this woman was a fiery Pentecostal. Every little pain, she would attack the pain. Pain will go away. You give her heart trouble, she will face the heart and tell it a few things. Dance in praise to God and reject the trouble will go away. He said, God, no, David just said the Lord told him that there was to take this woman was hard. That I had to do something sudden. No, look, I have the video. I mean, Israel, you have watched that video. Okay, Israel has watched the video. Don't you mean? Because Neville just said he was surprised, like, ah, hot Christian woman, that this woman just died like that. Boss just jumped her and does it. He felt very bad. He went to pray. And the Lord said, ah, my son, don't be angry. That was the only way. If we did any other thing, this woman wouldn't agree. Put her on bed of sickness, healing is first. That is, the woman wake up, said that woman was hot. And God said, okay, what do we do? To let you know that these things are real. That's what I'm making. He said the Lord now showed him a replay of what really happened. That before the bus hit her, she had left that body. So it was an empty carcass, empty casing of a human being that the bus hit. The Lord said, I just wanted to take this woman home. But she was too violent. I'm trying to teach you that you can use that same violence, you understand, and drive issues out of your life. I remember one day I told you, the first day somebody gave us a large offering in this ministry, I still remember the very spot where I was. Our rent here was due. All right? Our rent was due, and I was like, ah, we needed money. So I was thinking, where do we get money from? The ministry, of course, by the time you're thinking, where do we get money from? It means there's no money where you thought. Yeah, and you know, I was just thinking that day. I still remember very well. I was climbing the stairs, and a thought dropped in my mind. And what was that thought? I said, okay, if I give you money tomorrow now, how will you feel about how you are behaving today? I said, Lord, I will feel very bad that I've been worrying. As soon as I said that, I said to the Lord, I am sorry. I'm not going to worry about it. So I left the matter. I think the following day or the day after that, not more than 2 days after, that's when a brother called me and said, ah, sir, have you checked your account? I said, no. Okay, please check. I sent in some money. When I went in there, later on, he called me back. Have you checked? I said, I hadn't checked. He now told me, simple thing. In summary, I sent some money to the ministry. It's ₦1 million. What was the rent we're looking for? 200,000. Are you not angry? I felt good that I repented because I would have felt very bad. But looking back now, I have a feeling that if I stayed on the worry, the spirit to release that money may not have been gone into that brother. He told me himself later that what he wanted to send us was 40,000. That was the first thing he planned, 40K. I remember I was like, money. This money, get to come. This money. I told him when I was getting married, I've told the story before. I used to sleep very well. I now realized I wasn't sleeping. I go to the bed by 12. At 2 a.m., I'm still awake. I said, what is going on here? It was just not my character. Until the Lord helped me understand, you are worrying. I said, yeah, this is what they call worry. And I wasn't worrying like this. So.
Worry, why am I worried?
Worry. No, I would just lie down there, be calculating. That card, the guy said $15,000 for a card. All right. We will pay him twice now. Hey, next week, supposed to pay the guy who's bringing the suits. Hey, and this wife I'm supposed to marry is coming tomorrow. Supposed to be going and visit her uncle. It's not wine we are carrying. Ah! Okay, then you get to quickly write something down. That was what? 2 hours will pass. Bros never sleep. And listen to me. Jesus said, how many of you, through those things, can add anything to the length of your life or your height? And I'm saying to you today, it's actually taking something away from you. What's my message to you today? The Lord says, stop focusing on the troubles. Put your eyes on the joy that is to come. When you focus on the troubles, you make it hard for God to do anything for you. Don't focus on the troubles. Focus on the joy to come. I have studied the scriptures for long. The help that Jesus was given by the angels was a picture of the joy that was set before him. When he was on the cross, when I would watch Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, and they were beating him, I do not believe he was feeling the pain anymore. I don't believe it. How do I know? Because a time came, the women came and they were crying. And he said to them, don't cry for me. Save the tears for yourself and for your children. Because each time they delivered the lash, twam! What he was seeing was your cancer disappearing. You understand what I'm going to say? He wasn't seeing his own troubles. He was seen as he was healing you where you are. 3,000 years after, 2,000 years after, today, he was seeing you being delivered from troubles. As they will shed the blood, pyah! He said, that's it. The covenant is sealed. This boy is going to be my child forever. This girl is mine eternally. That's what he was seeing. As they are tearing the spirit, bam! This body is being broken for their healing. Say, wow, that's the end of their struggles. That is the end of their pain. That is the end of all their afflictions. That's what he was focused on. That is what he was focused on. It's when we focus on what is wrong that fear grips our hearts. And don't ever forget, that fear, that worry, repels blessings away from us. Listen, let me tell you about Nigeria today. Some people are feeling bad because that's it. Half of the country is feeling bad. Half is feeling good. If the reaction, if the election results turn the other way, what will just happen is the change of who is feeling bad and who is feeling good. One thing is sure, half will feel bad, half will feel good. You understand my point? But what is the role of Christians? In all of these things, give thanks. Are you getting my point? Because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not APC, not PDP, no matter who is the president. What does it mean for God to love you? He said, for God so loved the world that it gave. That is, nothing can separate you from the gift that God is sending to your economy. I don't know whether you get my point. Nobody. One thing is sure. I told you earlier, Vision 2020 is on course. Yes, sir. Hey, look, even if COA party decides to win, 2020 is on course. Abraham Lincoln said that there seems to be something that directing the course of a nation beyond the power of the man who's ruling. Having been in power, that was what he said. We focus on that. One thing is sure. This Nigeria of next year is better than the one of this year. Amen. Power supply of next year is better. No, I didn't say it will be better. I said it's better than the one of this year. Amen. The roads that you are seeing here, you will see them better next year in the name of Jesus Christ. This economy is only going to get better in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes they say that the price of oil is going down. As the price of oil is going down, so is the availability of something else to be coming up. It's what we focus on. Do you follow my point? People that are blessed just say, okay, people are focusing on oil price is going down, 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 down. They are focusing, say, what are the new opportunities? Because as God brings down one, it lifts up another. As he's bringing down oil, he's bringing up rice. He's bringing down oil, he's bringing up palm kernel. As he's bringing down oil, you understand my point? Something is always going up. I preached here some time ago that that's talking about the power of thanksgiving. Those who are not thankful, what happens to them is that they will be sitting beside a well. They won't notice. Because Hagar was there crying, until an angel said, wait, open your eyes, see, there's a well. The Bible didn't say they dug that well, all of a sudden. My suspicion is that her troubles did not let her see the well. I told you, if Jonah had complained in the belly of the fish, he would have been digested. No, God not to do them all. God doesn't do, hey, I just wanted to scare you. When he does, hey, he wants to kill you. Look, listen, from the time he starts it to the time you die, do necessary adjustments. If you make the necessary adjustments, you will survive. Jonah made the necessary adjustment, he survived. Nineveh made the necessary adjustment, he survived. Zipporah made the necessary adjustment on behalf of Moses, Moses survived. Are you getting my point? Listen, sometimes God has saved us halfway. We are now in the belly of the fish. This place is dark. What is that? Slime. Oh. It was God's deliverance. I know whatever God does must be perfect. It cannot be God's deliverance. I don't know what is going on. Listen, it is not everything that God does that is perfect. I can prove it to you. He looked at the man that he made and said, it is not good. You're not ready before? He looked at Adam. Adam, come here. Stand. It is not good. He is alone. Is that not what he said? Let's now correct the not good. Let's now make him a help that is fit for him. God made something for you, may not look perfect now, but it means he can improve it after now. Do you get my point? Adam was in a situation where things were not perfect for him. In the same manner, Jonah was in the belly of that fish. It was not a perfect situation. That was where God put him. It behoved Jonah to wake up in the morning and not focus on that, but start thanking God. Say, God, man won't be one drowned. No. Were he not for you, drowning would have been our portion. He was so focused on deliverance, the fish got tired and vomited him up. What's my message today? What you focus on, if it's wrong, it brings fear into your life. And the Bible says fear has what? Torment. Who has been delivered from torment here this evening? Give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. Very important. We will not be afraid. After all, why are some people unhappy about the election results? They are afraid of Sharia. They are afraid of, you know, listen to me. Now, this is a prophetic word. It's from the scriptures. You say amen, it comes to pass. Do you understand my point? Listen to this. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. Anyone who turns his back on the Son of God and fights the people of God, hear ye the word of the Lord for this season, this nation. He, she will perish out of the way in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God is the one that makes governments. Any government he has put in power can only be a blessing to me. Can only be a blessing to you.
Amen.
They have no choice.
Amen.
I said they have no choice.
Amen.
I will say this to surprise some people, but that's just the way God taught me. I've seen the results of it. And you can tap into it. When I was coming to Enugu, you know the way Nigerians talk. You are going to Igbo land. You know the way Nigeria is. All kinds of nonsense. I tell you, it's what you focus on. Listen, I have been blessed in this land. I don't know whether I get my point. I have been blessed. I have been honored. Why? Because at the beginning I said to people, I said, what nonsense are you saying? Was Joseph an Egyptian? Was he not prime minister in Egypt? I said, it will not happen that anybody will discriminate against me because they say he's not from here, he's from there. I said, nobody in power that has authority over me will be able to do it. Anyone who does it will lose that power that day. It's a commandment that followed me to town. For that reason, when things happened and it looks like it, I said to people, it is not so. They say, you don't understand. I say, you don't understand. This happened because I work in the university. Because if I agree with you, that my agreement, by it I place a curse upon the dean, I put it upon the vice chancellor. I said, but I happen to know that that is not what is happening. And I was right. It was not what was happening. But if I was a typical Nigerian, you know now. So you hear Nigerians talk sometimes, you're angry. One day, one brother I talked, you know, we were talking. I was very angry with him that day. Fashola closed the Ladipo. He said, it's because it is Igbo interest in Lagos. The same Fashola did not close many other markets. Did not close the Joshua. Did not aim and motion. The man said, it is because of this. People said, no, it is because we are, it's called grasshopper mentality. Every little thing he says is because I'm inferior. If they don't like me. Listen, there's no way I go in this world that allow anybody to do that to me. I'm telling you the truth. There is no way. One of our brothers the other day was talking, even in America. He said, yes, he knows the blacks have been discriminated against. He said, but since I came to America, the whites have been good to me. He works in Mississippi. He gets angry when you shout too much about the racism thing. He said, because they have been good to me. I remember when I came to Enugu then. I went to Nsukka a number of times. So people were talking about Nsukka. Yeah, I don't mind them. When you go there, I said, but I've been there. No, they've been very nice to me. They said, it's because you're not from here. I said, look at these people. All kinds of things. People will sit me down. No, it's very funny. Christians, we must remove this thing from our minds. Though. They will sit me down in my office. I will now be the arbiter. Don't mind him. He's an Enugu man. Foolish and Anambra man. Don't mind him. That is two of them will be explaining to me how wicked the other one is. And you know, I'll just be smiling. And I'm from Ondo State, naturally speaking. Like we said, my Hittiteness and my Amoriteness is from Ondo State, you know. And they'll be saying, you don't understand. You don't know my people. And I'll be looking and say, you won't be so funny. I'm sitting down here. I could have imbibed that spirit too. I would have been the one telling my people when I go home, don't mind them anymore. The way they are, things happen every day. Do you get my point? You are the one looking for the reason why it happened. A man quarrels with you, does not even know who's your father, who's your mother. You just decide that he knows I'm a Jew. I want to tell you that guy is actually a Jew. You say, oh, he's a Jew. I did not know about it. Why were you not fighting? He took my money. Some people are not paying those who are owing now. They use tribalism to not pay. Gather their brothers against them. One day, one of my residents, he didn't know anything. He went to do post in Ife. University of Ife, that's the teaching hospital of Afemi Awolowo University. He failed the exam once, failed twice. He went to the university, gathered all the professors that are Igbos to go and meet the HOD. That the HOD doesn't like him because he's Igbo. The man was not around that day. He was so angry. I said, look at foolishness. That man, the HOD, comes to town. He just gives, and he happens to be from my state. He gives me from afar. Those of you working UNTH, his right-hand man is Dr. Okafor. I don't know what I get the point. He will come all the way from Ife, come to Enugu, and go and sit with Dr. Okafor, and they will be plotting things. He didn't say, this one is my, are you getting my point? The man doesn't think like that. This guy's problem was that his head was empty. And Dr. Okafor, you know, used to be there also. And Okafor was diligent. And he knew his book. And he had been trained even before he came. They just had to do some postings there. So they had a very good rapport. So they had a good relationship. But this other one came with his empty head. And decided that the man does not like me. No, my head is not the problem. My head is not empty. He doesn't like me. Why does he not like me? I didn't take his wife. Ah! Eureka! I'm an Igbo man. He's a Yoruba man. People go around with that nonsense mentality. It's not letting them make progress in life. I give it to you as a testimony. I've been in Enugu for 15 years. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. All that has happened is that I am being blessed. People just call me and do me favors. Bishop, you know the one that, you know, the one we handled the other day, you know, on Tuesday, on Saturday. On Sunday. A man came to me and said, Pastor Banky, you must own a house in this town. That's his own. I didn't beg him, say, sir, please, I want to a house. So. He said, no, so what are you going to do about it? Every day, it costs me hair. So half. But the Nigerians won't let the anger of their grandfather, not even their father. Their father has forgotten some things. Their own grandfather. And I like one thing they said, Napoleon said, you were the one that wrote it. Said Napoleon said, never ascribe to conspiracy what can be explained by inefficiency. You know no book. You are ascribing it to tribalism. Know your book. I keep on saying all these girls that say lecture, I say I should sleep with them. Otherwise, I won't pass. You don't know book. Listen, I'm a lecturer. You wouldn't dare that with an A student. Because you know what is going to happen. The girl will go to the dean and say, sir, this man is... And they will believe her. Why? Because the girl, this chemistry 205, she got an A. 206 got an A. Physics 266, she got an A. He got to your course. He said, oh boy, you must be... Even if the girl wants to just put you in trouble, she'll just by herself fail. Say, why did she fail? Sexual harassment, sir. They will have put you on trial first. Why? Because of her record. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. When we focus on negative things, they become real in our lives. Listen, you are not a grasshopper. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are the giant people should be afraid of. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The land they were afraid to enter into, that was the land that people were running, they were hearing that they are coming. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, anywhere you go and look for work, they don't take you. Just know that you did not excel enough. Because the degree of excellence you will put in, that people will say that even if the MD say he wants his brother to occupy this position, we will create another one for this man. I told a friend of mine was working in one pharmaceutical company. He said he wanted to resign. He put in resignation. The boss said, no problem. Then the bigger boss, the Bible says that every boss has a boss. The bigger boss arrived from South Africa and said, what? Your best sales rep is about to resign and you are accepting the resignation? When he resigns, do you think he's going home to go and sleep? What is he going to do? He will go and work for your competitor. He called the boy back and said, sorry, sir, sit down. Why are you leaving? What will it take for you to stay? The guy said, number one, I want to transfer from where I am. I want to be brought back to Lagos. The man said, done. He said, when I come back to Lagos, I want this higher rank. The man said, you see, the higher rank is occupied. I will find it hard to remove that person to put you. So let's do a deal. You take the rank lower than that, I give you the same salary as the rank higher than that. He said, but so that I won't cause quarrel and animosity in the company, this is what we'll do. I will find the difference in the salary, pay you lump sum. Then you, at the end of it, you'll not be earning the other one like everybody else. But I will have given the difference ahead. That day I was in my house in Lutse Banki. I'm back in Lagos. This is the terms upon which I returned. Why? They said, this guy, we can't let him go. He will work for our competitor. Who cared who his father was? Who cared which tribe he came from? See, people who don't know anything, they're shouting tribalism. Pass the test, let us see. We'll know whether somebody is discriminated against you or not. Listen to me. If God's glory is upon you, people will desire your company. Are you getting my point? If you have the spirit of Daniel, that spirit of excellence, the ability to solve difficult problems, people will employ you when everybody is sacking people. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what we as Christians are. We don't focus on the negative. When we focus on the negative things, it cripples our hands. It cripples God from blessing us. Begin to declare again. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus,
I am not a grasshopper.
I am not a grasshopper.
I am a giant with Christ.
Because
greater is he that is in me
than
he that is in the world.
Say,
the greater one lives in me. Tap your chest. Say, the greater one lives in me. Say, the greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I am a blessing to this nation. Say,
this nation is good.
It's getting better.
Whoever is in power
will do the will of God. Say it again.
Whoever is in power
will
fight corruption.
Whoever is in power
will work for justice.
Whoever is in power,
we work for freedom.
Whoever is in power,
we work for economic prosperity.
Say it as a child of God.
I decree so
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let
me just really tell you something before we close. Like I said earlier, I don't know how the result will be. When I'm on this pulpit, I talk as a servant of God. Give me the scripture. Whoever enters into that office come May 29, you have only one duty: to thank God and pray for the person. If it is Buhari, I will cast out the spirit of forgetfulness. I'm telling you. I will just do my portion. I thank God for one thing. I learned this since the days of Abacha. No. I think of Babangida. God, I'm not bragging. I'm giving you the glory. I am not aware I have ever criticized the head of state. I'm not kidding about that in more than 20 years. They have come in all kinds of colors and behavior patterns. Some have been slow and sickly. Some have been sharp and aggressive. Some have rigged, you know, they institutionalized rigging of election. Some have done good, they've done bad. I have not done it. I leave that job for Tunde Bakare. God didn't call the two of us. I leave that job for him. Tunde Bakare can criticize and abuse anybody. And on top of that, God will still bless him. Obviously, he's doing something that God sent him to do. You do it first, you go to prison. And God will keep you there for 6 months so that your head will cool down. You now know that your name, you are not the savior of the world. Go back and do the will of God. But him, nobody puts him in prison. If you put him in prison, he will tell you to, you won't sleep. No. I told you that once he was preaching. He said that one day, SSS arrested him. They were questioning him. They said, Pastor, okay, you don't want to talk to us. I'm going home to go and sleep. He looked at the man, sleep? If you sleep, I'm not a servant of God. He said, go home, but sleep, you will not sleep. He told the SS man talking to him, he said, sleep? If you sleep, I'm not a servant of God. You can go home, but sleep? Forget the idea. That is him. No, he has an anointing. I don't covet it. I don't want it. I don't take up. I don't wish for it at all. I had the general unction. I'm a child of God. I pray for the government of the country. Jonathan is a good man. His name is good. Amen. Good luck, you know. His name is good. I thank God for his life. Whatever he has not done, God did not empower him to do it. Whatever he has done, God empowered him to do it. Anything he did not do, it's because we were not worthy of it being done for us yet. Otherwise, God would have compelled somebody to come in and do it for him. He said, when I want to punish the Egyptian, I give him into the hands of a cruel ruler. People that cruel rulers rule over, they deserve the punishment. When they repent and God wants to bless them, he removes the cruel ruler. I said this thing less than 2 months before Abacha woke up one day and found out he was dead. I still did not criticize the man. When he died, I said to people, you cannot rejoice that a man died, because God never is happy when a man perishes. It's in the scriptures like that. He does not desire even a wicked man to perish. And the Bible says it clearly. God said, if I'm fighting your enemies, God commanded you must not rejoice. He said, if I see your rejoicing, I will stop. So when people were rejoicing, hey, he has died. I said, for what? I knelt down. I was not remote through in Luz. I said, God, have mercy upon my brethren. They do not know what they are doing. Because if you rejoice like that, God gives a man more wicked than him. It's a spiritual principle. Why do you think David took Saul? Saul, who tried to kill him many times. He took Saul, buried him decently, and declared national mourning for Saul. And began to say things you wouldn't believe. How are the mighty falling? Who is mighty that is falling? He began to sing songs. One of the most beautiful songs he ever sang. He sang for Saul. Tell it not in Gath. Tell it not in Ashkelon. Let the daughter of the Philistine rejoice, or the daughter of the uncircumcised exult. The whole mountain of Gibeah. We had to cram this in secondary school. The lamentation of a man for his enemy. We crammed it in secondary school. So when Abacha died, I said, God forbid that I should rejoice. We should cry that as a church, we are not powerful enough to cause him to come to repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should cry. We should wonder that what happened to prophets who can walk up to kings and talk to them. And then rejoice, hey, he has died. I said, God, please forgive us, for we do not know what we are doing. Look, let's give God thanks for the nation. Let's can go home. Say, Lord, thank you for the elections. Say, Lord, thank you. You are still ruling the affairs of men. Just tell him, say, Lord, you are still ruling. And I worship you, I acknowledge you. Like I said, there's no faith until there's a clash. That's when you know you really believe. When you are supposed to do what you really don't want to do. Say, Lord, thank you. We submit again to your will. You are good. You are good. Oh, tell him, say, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. And your mercies endure forever. Lord, you are good. You are good. You are the God of this nation. Every man will serve your purpose. He said he has made everything for a purpose. Every ruler for a purpose. Lord, thank you because you are good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Because indeed you are good. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ.